Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss affairs that affect our bread and butter, affairs of international affairs, continental affairs, and indeed domestic aspect, particularly what is happening at the beginning of the year. How are we going to navigate through the year? We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We understand some of you are on your way to work. Some of you have already arrived at work. Some of you are still awake and making plans on what you need to do. Some of you are there buying your stock and continue the struggle for the economic emancipation of everybody, and also to make sure that we position ourselves at the at a good standard that is not going to compromise ourselves, particularly looking at how things have been. So, as it has always been the case, we are indicating to you that from this hour of 6 until 8 in the morning, we'll give you the discussion of what is happening in the continent, and indeed, what do we have at home? What do we have at home? What are we going to discuss about, especially at the beginning of the year, when we are going to look at issues of academic affairs to say what is new in 2026 academic calendar, what is new in this year academic calendar, and how are the outcomes of the results? And it's no more about saying matric results, because we have now grade 11 and also level, and what can we do to make sure that we don't go back from the situation that have been. So, and also the issue of data, which is very important, the issue of data, to say when you want to solve a problem, what data do we have? When you want to solve the problem of oversupply of education graduate, what data do you have? Are we still guessing? Or do we have accurate data? What can we do? Maybe that is a point where we need to start. So, in this morning, like, any other morning, we like, giving people a motivation. That's why we are always indicating to say, starting at a positive note at the beginning of the year is a very crucial thing. And, there is a saying which is, stating that, you are what you think, whatever you put in your mind, you become. And a mind is a very powerful thing. That's why if you look closely, especially to those people who do not have positive thinking about the future, they always find themselves in miserable situation, because little do they know that a mind is a very, you know, powerful magnet that can attract everything that you think. And it's always very important to make sure that you think positively, you believe in yourself, you trust the process, and you always look at opportunities, even during chaos, even during difficult situation. Always look at opportunities to say, majority of businesses, majority of great ideas started during difficult situation, during inflation, during COVID-19. And while we are busy complaining, other kids are coming up with better strategies, because they are saying difficult situation, they force individuals to think, and also coming up with better strategies, better mechanisms on how to tackle the future. So, and also the question to say, are we positive as a nation? Are we positive as a nation? Or we are only attracted to negativity, to bad news? Are we optimistic about the future? Do we have leaders who are giving us that hope? And are we encouraged to look into the future with positive mindset? And what are we doing about it? Particularly in when you find yourself in a situation where there is little hope. So it's something that should be encouraged. Particularly, we are never taught about thinking, but it's a very important aspect, particularly looking at education system, to say is education system teaching people to copy and paste, or is education system teaching people to think, teaching people to ask questions? Because I remember that time, there used to be a phrase which is given to say, when a teacher does not understand something, he or she will just say, I know that is your homework. But after all, you end up realizing that those curious children who were disencouraged how to think, they end up not really going far. But young children must be taught how to think and also how to question things, because that is the foundation of innovation, where a person go not really to say against conventional way of doing things, but innovate to say, why are we doing things the same way? Why are we doing things the same way? Why are we not building industries? What is the use of people teaching us biology when we are all not going to become medical professionals? What is the relevance of that? What is the use of people teaching us physics? And what are we doing about it? And all those questions. What does it mean when I invest more into research in science and technology? And what does it mean when we invest more in upgrading talent? So I think it's a point of departure, especially when you want to enter a conversation related to issues of academics, to say, are we taught how to think? If we are taught how to think, how come those who are in charge of driving our industries are not able to think critically and solve the problem that has been into existence for the past 20 years or so? And before we go to issues of international affairs and what is happening in the continent of Africa, just also for you to understand that when we are going to have that conversation of academic calendar of 2026 and what we expect new, we also touch a little bit from the foundation of our education system. Go back to 1953, the Bantu Education Act, and what have we done new after our independence and getting power to direct our own system. So that is exactly what we are going to look into. And looking at international affairs, let us start with issues of migration, and it's a topic which I'm interested much into. It's a topic which I'm interested into, especially when it comes to the movement of people from their place of origins to other countries, to such extent that they move to other continents, especially from the developing world. Because if we are speaking about Africa having around 70% of the youth population, however, these young people, they are leaving the continent. And every day there is a case. Research and studies are still ongoing. And every day people are being trapped on their way outside Africa. And this is not just a general African, or it's not only in few parts of the African continent, even here in Namibia. And a lot of people were shocked when United States of America has reviewed their immigration policy, and State Department reviewed their immigration policies, and also gave or increased the bonds that people have to pay, especially when they want to travel to the U.S. And people were also shocked when UK say, no, Namibia, you must deal with your people, especially those that we have rejected asylum. Now, the question that you are asking yourself is to say, why people are leaving a country such as Namibia looking for asylum if we do not have war here? We do not have political unrest. we may have our own challenges, but really looking for a political asylum or looking for asylum. But that is a conversation that we are going to enter into, particularly looking at young African people who are freezing in the street of Paris in France. We're going to look at this after ShopRite.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 6x1 liter NAM milk, low fat or full cream UHT milk for only $118.99 per pack. And 4 liter Right brand sunflower seed oil, only $159.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 11 January 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at the issue of migration. Looking at the issue of migration. It was stated that young African migrants are sleeping in the street of Paris amidst the freezing winter. Amidst the freezing winter nights in Paris. And as we've been speaking about numerous young people from Africa who are looking for opportunities and find themselves in a difficult situation. Some end up living in abandoned houses because, you travel with little information that when you go to the UK, for example, when you go to France, when you go to Spain, it's just paradise. It's opportunities everywhere. And when you reality hit you, you realize to say, life is not what we see in movies. Life in a developed world is not what we see in movies. There are still bangers there. There are still poor people. And majority of the African who go there, particularly without proper documents, they find themselves living into abandoned shelters, and some of them they find themselves living into empty spaces, and this is really something which must be dealt with immediate effect, because it's stated that around 300 young African migrants who are seeking official recognition in Paris are freezing, and they are sleeping in tents here in Paris, or they are sleeping in tents. And throughout the freezing nights of snow, and they are faced with harsh, dangerous conditions. You must check up on your cousin who said he was traveling to France. He could be one of them. She could be one of them. You are here sleeping in tents, and top of those tents, if you are looking at these pictures here, if you are looking at videos out here, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. You will not even think that this is what could happen, especially to young Africans with energy and ability also to change things at home, but they find themselves in France. Now the question that you're asking yourself is to say, what would happen long term if the situation is not addressed? Because the external world have already started, not to say they started mistreating us, they also started getting tired also of this, voluntary slavery. It's voluntary slavery because you don't know where you are going, You don't know what you are going to do. You don't have proper documents, and the probability for you not to make it is very high. Probability for you not to make it is very high. And there are coordinated activities which are being, you know, handled by one of the humanitarian shelter in Paris, and also humanitarian campaign done by Salvation Army in Paris to make sure that these people are being taken care of, and also to make sure that when it comes to issues of dangerous condition that the young Africans are living in, especially in the developed world, are taken care of. And also, just also a message also to give to those who are in charge of giving opportunities, and also those who are in charge of training Africans, to say, why can't we make Africa great again? Why can't we make Namibia great again? Where other people are focusing on making their countries great again. If you have everything, why can't we deal with our own challenges than exposing ourselves? And what do leaders think, especially African leaders, when they are visiting European countries and looking at their sons and daughters in these conditions? Is there something which is moving them that maybe who also allow them to change situations at home? And are we in a hurry to develop our continent? Is there a sense of agency also? Because it's one thing to listen to me giving you a very beautiful speech about development, and it's the other thing to see the progress of the project I'm saying I'm going to do. Is there agency from the top? Is there agency of development? Is there agency of giving people opportunity? And those are the questions that we should ask ourselves to say. There might be interest, but is there agency to say when it comes to unemployment, it's a state of emergency. But is there agency on addressing that? Do we have a plan, long-term and short-term plan on dealing with that? Or we are still dealing with, intellectual ways of theorizing on the problem. So if there is agency, then we can deal with that. Now, the same news, or news related to that news, one will also be able to see. There are also reports again that indicating that a boat carrying a dozen of migrants hoping to reach Spain returned to the shore after taking on water off coast of Gambia. And and passengers they paid around $600 for a place on the boat. And it is indicated that authority have turned these boats back to Africa. And for those of you who are thinking of leaving Africa to look for opportunities, then maybe there are questions that you should ask yourself to say. Number one, what is that you are going to offer outside? Number two, do you have proper documents? And maybe number three, do you have a required skill that is needed outside? Or you are leaving your own country so that you can become a nanny in the UK, as long as you are earning euro. And or you are leaving your own country where you have a house where you are coming from, then you are going to live in a tent in the street of Paris. And what is a guarantee that you are going to come back in one piece? What is a guarantee that you are not going to be violated? And what can we do to make sure that we maximize opportunities? And the other thing And it's quite related to what we are going to discuss today, to say, you know, when it comes to people leaving Africa, some people, they have really tried what they can do. Then they think the other opportunity is to go outside. Some people, they have really tried, and they realize to say the other opportunity is to go outside. Then the question is that, are we able also to absorb people that we have trained? Are we able to absorb them, people that we have trained? And what new things are we going to do? Because this is not only the question of Gambia, Mali, Guinea, but it's also a question of Namibia. I think it was last year where the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, assisted in bringing back some of the Namibians who were they were stuck in the Middle East today. They were stuck in the Middle East today, and not that we are hearing, there are quite reports about unthinkable activities which our African youth are going through, especially going to the oil-rich countries. Some they go to Dubai, some they go to Oman, go to Qatar. And there are a lot of unthinkable reports which are coming from there. But for us to deal with that situation, there is one clear thing that we need to do, is to create opportunities. And how are we going to create opportunities in Namibia and in other countries? How we are going to create opportunities when you follow the plan? Is when you follow the plan, because we always have a plan, but we don't follow the plan that we have. We always have things that we want to do. We always have NDPs. We always have Harambees. We always have Vision 2030. But if somebody asks you, have you ever imagined Vision 2030 to be, I like saying 3 years from now. Have you ever imagined Vision 2030 to be 3 years from now? And what does that say about the pace of your movement toward what you have planned? So, those are the questions that we should ask ourselves, and those are also discussion that we should bring about. You know, I remember there was a time where I was at a place and one elder say, no, you young people, you are always speaking about sport and football. You are making me worry about the future. Yes, it's good to speak about football. It's good to speak about the EPL. It's good to speak about sport in other countries. But what are you doing at home? How can you spend 2 hours speaking about what has happened in between Manchester United and Chelsea? No, that is a concern from an elder. Then I started to think, to say, maybe it's an interest, but no. Sometimes we must do what inspired us. How many of you know, maybe if somebody say mention six players from Brave Warriors, are you going to mention them? You are not going to mention them, apart from Peter Sharuri and Dion Hot, because we are not attracted, or the interest is not being sold to the people of Namibia, so that they can be able to love what is happening at home. Because we always think that best footballers are outside Africa, because what is ours is not really sold well to us. So after a short commercial break, we'll look at the news of Burkina Faso, especially after a failed coup d'etat. People want Traore out. There are still those who want Traore out. Captain Ibrahim Traore, the hero to many, the dictator to few. You want to look at that.
Attention, residents of Namibia's communal areas. This is a crucial announcement from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform. Please listen carefully and share this message with your family members, neighbors and friends. Stop the practice of buying or selling communal land. Why? Because communal land in Namibia is state land and cannot be sold in any manner. Engaging in any transactions related to its sale or purchase is strictly illegal. The Communal Land Reform Act, Act No. 5 of 2002, explicitly prohibits such activities. Consequences of illegal land transactions. Legal penalties. Violators may face fines and imprisonment. Community harmony disruption. Selling or buying communal land can lead to land disputes and tensions within our communities. What you need to know. Communal land belongs to all of us. It is a shared resource that should benefit everyone. Preserve our heritage. By respecting communal land, we honor our cultural legacy and protect our environment. Report illegal activities. If you suspect any illegal land transactions, please report them to the traditional authority, Communal Land Board, or the ministry office nearest to your area. Let's work together to safeguard our communal land resources for future generations. The ministry will not be liable for any loss of land resources as a result of the illegal sale of communal land. Remember, communal land is precious. Let's keep it safe and secure for all. Thank you for your cooperation. The radio message is produced with financial support from the Government of the Republic of Namibia and the Federal Republic of Germany through the German Development Bank, KfW. For more information, please contact the ministry office nearest to your area or the Public Relations Office of the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform at the following telephone number, 061-208-7604. All official correspondence must be addressed to the executive director.
Yeah, it's 32 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at issues of continental and global affairs. And it's quite interesting to look at the movement of people, especially from Africa, and also quite concerning too, to say maybe in the future, maybe this year 2026 is a year that we are going to realize that much need to be done at home. Maybe it's also a year that you know, African leaders, they also wake up to look at prioritizing their own young people. Because if you look at what have been happening throughout 2025, you must really be able to understand that you know, young people's situation need to be addressed. And not only young people, just, you know, citizens directed development, a development which is directed to upgrading of the basic needs of human beings. Because chaotic situation, uncertainty, political violence start at a situation where people lose hope, at a situation where people have little to lose, at a situation where people are vulnerable, and also at a situation where people are fed up. Because if you have an angry nation, if you have unaccounted for people, it's a law of human nature that people will try by all means to survive. That is why even if I have hope in you, even if I have trust in you, and you are not addressing my basic needs, I'll end up being fed up, then being vulnerable, then being manipulated. That is why, if you look, for example, at the history of Arab Springs, then you understand that most of those demonstrations were championed by young people who, in their mind, they wanted change. But what have happened? Some of these so-called regime change end up into chaotic or almost failed state. But the content of the matter is that situation need to be addressed. Poverty need to be addressed head-on. Inequality, the project of addressing inequality should be non-negotiable. And we must have a plan before we invite other people to come and assist us with a plan. We must have a plan and know exactly what you want. Because they are saying it's only Africa who do not have a plan about other continent, but other continents, they have plans on how to deal with us. Britain have studies of Africa, African studies, what is happening in Africa, what are the new opportunities coming in Africa. There are African, studies within U.S. University, within Russia, everywhere, China, Japan. Everybody have a plan on Africa, on how to deal with us, on how to do business with us. But we really have a plan. And what can we do moving forward? Yeah, what have happened in Burkina Faso? What have happened in Burkina Faso? On the 3rd of January, it was stated that on Saturday night there was an alleged coup plot which was uncovered by Burkina Faso intelligence, and there was a plan to outsit the sitting head of state of Burkina Faso, that is Captain Ibrahim Traore, and also indicated that Burkina Faso Minister of Security, that is Mahamadou Sana, has indicated that the plan which was uncovered was a coordinated effort to destabilize the country. And number one was numbers of targeted assassinations. Targeted assassination, that is killings of key political figures and key also military leaders. And it was supposed to start around 11 p.m. and would have also targeted some of the civilians and military leaders, including eliminating Captain Ibrahim Traore. And at the cross range, and also the operation was also, the plan was also to, apart from eliminating him at the cross range, was also the plan on mining his residence, putting a bomb in his residence, but authorities say investigation is continue, and arrest has already been made, and those who are arrested are also, they are expected to meet the full, wrath of the law. And looking at this aspect, one must be able to look at that although there are those who praise military leadership, but the worst part of military leadership is like a gang. And it's only that who has a powerful gun who lead, and it's not for a long time. Because the issue of military leadership, there is also an aspect of paranoia within leadership, and you find a military leader who is already finding it very difficult also to consolidate his power, then if he end up not becoming a bit violent, he end up also becoming vulnerable, because balancing absolute power is the most difficult thing a human being can have, because there is a saying to say, too much power also can also corrupt absolutely. But in a situation where you have a military leader who is also becoming soft and also becoming a bit of a civilian, There are also those who try to find opportunities throughout there. Because remember, when Ibrahim Traore took over in 2022, he did not take over from, from a civilian government. He took over from somebody who took over from a civilian government. Because first they collaborated and, took power. And Colonel Paul Damimba was the one who was the leader of Burkina Faso. But Ibrahim Traore said, no, we are overthrowing you again. So he took power. In this aspect, he survived. Now the question that you're asking is that, why on Saturday could there also coincidence happen at the same time? And it would have become one of the most difficult, unusual, historical events, because what also happened on Saturday. So, it could have been a Saturday of coup and also arresting of presidents. But, let's look at that, another time. So let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine, man.
Mm.
You know, when it comes to the movement of Africa, from Africa to Europe.
Yeah.
You know, these things are historical. It's just the event that changes from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me address this one.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. So, the thing is to say, man, when you say the history of when people start moving, it starts with, you know, it starts with maybe slavery, if you want to put it like that way.
Yeah.
You know? And the slavery. But and again, even the First World War, also has an impact there. The issue of also industrial revolution has an impact, because when people started moving, it was a time where the chamber of practice was taking place. Then the industrial revolution also came in. Now when it came in like that, it has to give people proper rights. People starting to be innovative. Now, when the war broke out, people started moving up. Now, in the process, you can see that during the scale of Africa, the invasion of Africa, people, the slavery, people have to be kicked in out of their country. Now, they are no longer doing it. People are bringing themselves.
They are bringing themselves.
They are bringing themselves. But we are saying, who are these people in terms of their social and also economic status, and they say maybe political status if you want? And you don't need to start there at the political level. Start at home. Of course, you still have the same migration of people moving from rural area to
urban area. Yeah.
Because people see in urban area, it's more developed, it's more advanced, there are more opportunities than in their village. Now, if that is the mindset, you can easily see that, no, we need to start seeing, to say, look, who are these people? Just imagine a person from a proper, normal house in the village,
Yeah.
They have clean water, they have electricity, they have the toilet, everything is there.
Yeah.
Food is there. But these people who come to Vindu and they say, where? Mokabash.
Yeah.
Where there is no water, where there is no electricity, where, you know, where he's not even, you know,
there's no sanitation.
You see? There's no sanitation.
Yeah.
That's a problem, I don't know.
Now the question of migration from Africa. Yes, there is similarities, but what do you think is the solutions? Is to the same solution that you want to bring to say let's bring service to the people, or what do you think about that? Or people are not motivated anymore, because for me to move out of Namibia, it should not be even a regional problem. It should be a country problem to say, all of us, either it's at urban or at the village, if you are young between the age of 15 to 35 or so, or even 40 now, or 45, opportunities are still rare. You have to say so.
Because, David, if you look at the ideal is to create opportunity in a rural area. Or the country has ideal opportunity, like ideal position is to create opportunities for every Namibian to develop. But when you see in Namibia, there is a decentralization policy. The aim of decentralization policy was to do that. Ne? To make sure they bring government service close to the people and create opportunities there in a rural area so that people cannot come.
But we look at the failure of the decentralization policy, or people maybe did not understand it very well. Even when I was now looking at how EDs are being rotated, but what came into my mind is that these people have one of the most difficult jobs also, because everything is centralized too.
Look, you know, one aspect in decentralization that really need to be addressed. You know, they say the ultimate is evolution. Ne?
Come again?
The ultimate goal of decentralization is evolution. Like to transfer the power permanently to the people. To the senior council and then to a local authority something. But if I ask you for the past 25 years, that a policy has been in existence, which region and how far each region is it to the process of devolution? None. Up to now. Because it's a policy that cannot even define to say, look, within this period, a region is supposed to achieve ABCD to be able to attain a devolution status of the decentralization. But it's not that. It's not there. You can ask it. You can call the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, ask them. Those who are responsible for it.
The problem I have, the problem which I find is that there are no data.
you know why we are also failing?
Yeah.
It's good that you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Is the issue of data.
Yeah.
When I said, who are these people?
Yeah.
Even now when you are speaking, we don't know people who are coming in. What are the economic data?
We don't know how many people are coming in per month and per month or per year.
Look, it doesn't matter per month or per year, but who are these people?
Yeah.
In terms of the economic status or social and like that, you need to know.
Yeah.
Look, in Beijing, there is this system to say, look, you cannot just wake up and say, I'm coming to Beijing, ne? You need to have a reason. You need to apply. If you are going to school, then the reason must be known.
Yeah.
If you are going for Asia, then it's like you still have to say where I'm going to stay and how long I'm going to stay. And when your things are finished, you have to go back. You understand? Even if you finish school, you still have to go back to your what?
To your province.
To your region, to your town where you came from. You have to be employed there. Now, in Namibia, and that is the system which was created by the Boers now, back then. People, they call it a discrimination and colonialism. Because up to now, because we don't have data, even the people that are moving out of Namibia to Europe, we don't have data. If we have, who are these people? Because there is no relationship between Namibia and the people, the government and the people when they are moving out. Even if you mention the aspect to say, look, maybe the people that we train, we are unable to employ them. How also? Are we not sure? Because the record, when you are going out, the system is a home affair.
Yeah.
It will be designed in that form to make sure that we capture all this information of the people. So that when the government wants to find solutions, then we are unable to go to record. When you want now to do research about this, you are going to find the challenge in getting data.
No, it's true. You know, it's true. While you are there, because I was looking at the tourist statistical report, and this one is of 2025 now. When I was looking at it, it mentioned good records on how many people are coming into Namibia. But my question is also that, where is a tourist statistical report on how many tourists are moving out of Namibia also to other countries?
And to say where they go, which countries they visit, how much is it? Because you are not something, you are not going to move when you don't have data.
No, it's a point we are going to emphasize still today, to say, where are our data? Even with our current education system, we are still guessing.
Look, for instance, there's nothing wrong now for Boyogai to Benduka in and out too. Therefore, for Bragwaterapo, when you put a block, for you just to collect data and ask, the make you design a formal profile so that the person can see. That in future, you are going to understand people who are they are moving in pattern.
I think you are mentioning something which is valuable and can be used, because you know the bus drivers, they already have a record book. Maybe you can just add that aspect, maybe a reason for traveling, age and all these things. Then it can be a questionnaire to be used even for the environmental aspect.
You just need to design a proper form for registration for each registered. Even if you are not registered with the private car, when you come to the road block, you have to see the people that are in there. They need to see you. Now, when you start capturing this data properly, and the name of these people, you know, no one is to capture data in an analysis that is very cheap.
Yeah, there are systems,
If any person can put an ID number, ID number will say, look, it always moves. You can be arrested to say, look, if you have a 100 like people coming from the north, from Oshakati, for instance, Mambula and coming to Vendo for school, at the end of the day, you are going to follow up to say, how many of these kids move out of Kendo after school? You understand? You are going to see. Then you are going to say, okay, how many people who went to Kendo to search for a job? Because you need a system where people have to apply, because even if you are going to Russia, that's why the system is the same. When you are now going to wherever out of this country to Europe, you cannot just wake up to say, no, I have to go to Europe. You need a passport, number one. You need a visa.
You need a reason.
Where are you going? But when you are saying this in the context of Namibia, to say, look, we really want this thing to control this movement, so that also we make sure that you know at least how we can assist the development agenda at a region where people are coming from. So that also we understand which region has the highest migration rate in the country, and for what purpose these people are in there. We are at a better position to analyze and keep this data correctly. People are saying, it's a poor country, you are preventing people from moving. But you have the right to move wherever you want to move. But we want to understand the reason why you are moving.
No, it's a good contribution, and that is exactly what we are also going to look at today, to say, yes, we want to change things, we want a new education model, But do we have data to support us where we are going? And when we are really speaking about 3 years from now, we are going to be in 2030. And it's like a dream. I've been telling people to say the year is moving fast. And if we are not prioritizing what need to be prioritizing, particularly data and research, they look like we look like we have researchers in Namibia, but we don't have researchers. It looks like we have data, but we don't have.
You know, even if we have data, those data are not accurate. They are not correct. They are not right. In a particular situation.
But the point is that we don't have them.
Because what is killing us.
Yeah.
We have seen it. Even if you want to do research now.
Yeah.
When you start Googling, looking for those information, you hardly find Namibian information.
And Namibian information is, most of them are predictions.
And that Namibian institution of research and what was, that's why I say that there is a link, there is a gap in it between the research that we are doing at school. Because they are not used anywhere.
And in industrial research?
You see, we make those research just to pass. But they are not used to advance the economic and development agenda of this country. Zero.
It's true. People even forgot their research topic and they find themselves doing something differently when they are done. Yeah.
We are not even sure that how many people that have been graduated but they are not employed in a field of the study which they applied.
Yeah.
You see? Because if the system that you created cannot, you did not create a check and balance of it. Then how are we going to make it to make sure that you are doing the right thing or not?
I hear you.
So the aspect of education also, that's the critical thinking, because people have to start thinking in a different way.
Yeah.
Because when you see back then, or sport, just wait. When you see the original school that were created by the whites, there is a recreation, sport and recreation facility inside there. The standard of the school. Now, look at the school that you are creating now.
No, even there is also something that I think I'll speak about today, because we have an issue of, there is even a full-time school counselor and a full-time school coach, but we don't have that in general. But when you go to private school and other establishment, you see that there is somebody who is a full-time school coach, not a teacher for physical education, full-time school coach, school counselor, and all those things.
The problem, we want everybody to become academic, but the mathematics is not that. In fact, we did not even have talent identification.
Yeah.
At a young age. Now, back then, when we have our own private school in our own family, before those public schools, you call it in private school. Did you know that everybody was, or most of us in the village, we were in private school?
Everybody went to private school, yeah.
The private school did not start with these things. That's a lie. That's why when you see Kuja, this person, we all came from private school in our home.
It's true.
You see?
Yeah.
So that's why now we are saying, now, not every person is an academic.
Yeah.
So you, one child just want to become a Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
For the child to become a Cristiano Ronaldo, he has to spend most of the time at school, but there's no sports facility there. When he comes to the location, there's nothing. In my opinion,
yeah.
I was the. By if I we could have get an opportunity, we could have pushed any solution to say, takunai ko score. If the sport and creation of the system are not part of the place, no, they cannot be that.
No,
we cannot approve.
It must be stronger. Yeah. Time is still there. You get in because, you know, we need people who can, honestly, we need people who can, who can think and also, save. I think the future is still there.
On the issue of Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
When we say they don't create a bad precedent,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Even what the US done,
mm-hmm.
they used to do those things long time ago. But in a modern, you cannot do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are going to create a precedent that everybody is going to copy from you. What are you going to say?
Mm-hmm.
If you go, you take power by force, by coup d'etat like that.
Yeah.
The same way you came in, the same way you were going out.
Okay. Think.
You must not complain.
Yeah.
When that's why we say that.
Yeah.
Even if things are wrong.
Yeah.
We must not use the illegal means to do things.
No, I hear you.
Try to do it through legal processes.
Okay.
Even if you say no, people are cheating election. Let's just fight until we get it right.
No,
so that we never give a room to anybody to acquire power through illegal means.
I hear you. Thank you. And a lot of people, and Traore is the most likable military leader in Africa based on what he's doing, but did he come with the right process? That is the question. And if he goes...
you just create a room to say any person who disagree with you, you have a right to remove him by force. You understand?
And he removed his comrades also.
Even if 100 people want you, there is only one or two people who doesn't want. And who also powerful, who can deal with you directly.
I hear you.
Social way, even what happened to Omalenga there in Ikokora, we must not promote that nonsense.
No, it's true.
So, we cannot promote that nonsense. Because we can say, when we disagree, we cannot use that the way we resolve. No.
Even if you hate the person.
Bosa, because we say, we must stop creating bad precedents. And we must not stop promoting it.
No, that,
because that's why even in the social media there, you can see people who are like defending the other one, blaming this Malenga. But
I've seen the comment also, and some people they write comments, not knowing exactly what have happened and what will happen also in the future. What if it happens to you, and what does it saying about our system? Because we have also seen the case of and I think it's dealt with full force of the law, even the case of the prosecutor. Because if you are attacking the court itself, who is going to solve our dispute?
That's why when me, I like FIFA. Any single mistake FIFA did with you decisively, attacking just for attacking a referee. You are going to see.
No, you don't need to attack a referee.
You are going to see, because if you cannot defend, you know, the law, like the justice system, we are not saying those people are fine.
Yeah.
But let's just get the way legal means to address the thing. And that is where we need all have to shift our mind. We can differ. But we must not took that radical approach in that way to say, look, that's the only way to resolve problems.
And it's even uncivilized. It's taking us backward to... Because
what the Americans done, even if what the Americans have done, Trump has done, is wrong.
That should not be promoted at all.
That is a sitting president, elected president. That is the problem in Venezuela. If these people are taking drugs to your country, then strengthen your border. Strengthen your border. That's what you need to do. You cannot just go to another country and remove a sitting person. But what if other kind of people remove you also.
No, I hear you.
So we said it's, we need to respect the institution and the structures that are there to resolve conflict.
Thank you. Okay, greet that youngster, ne? Right. Yes, it's 5 minutes past the hour of 7, and the caller have made it very clear to say setting a bad precedency can come back to you, and we should not tolerate that. And there are things that there are lines that we must not cross. We can argue, and I do not need to agree with everything that you are saying, but there are some level of respect that we should have, especially in the issue of a referee. You cannot attack the referee if and FIFA will deal with you, even if you are Christian Ronaldo of this world, you are Messi of this world. The referee is just a referee, because without the referee there is no sport. That's why those days we grew up liking watching AFCON. At that time AFCON was good, and also African Cups, other football in the continent of Africa. At that time, people used to throw punches to each other, referee being beaten, but no really decisive actions being taken. But look at your EPL, look at everywhere, even currently in Africa, you cannot attack a referee. Whether the referee is fair or unfair, that is the best you have at that moment. The same with what the caller have said about our judicial system. Because people think the judicial system is only the low court, middle court, high and supreme court, but traditional court is also part of the judiciary. And whether you know a person, you hate a person, you must respect that person because there's that authority. That's why if you don't have a referee, then you don't have sport. If you don't have a jurist person, a justice person, then you do not have the court, and that should be happening. And in the case of Ibrahim Traore, and a lot of people are coming in to say no, he's a very good guy. Yes, it is. He's very good. He did what he did to his country, and he's patriotic. But looking at the way he came to power, is that an example that should be set? Because there's no stability with overthrowing somebody. There's no stability. That's why yesterday I was watching a documentary, and I was reading a book about Hugo Chavez and how he came to power, because it's one of the very interesting, at one point he was a rebel. He wanted to overthrow the government. He was captured. Then he decided to say, no, I have to use an official means. And he came to power. One of the very interesting character. Because if you want to understand Maduro, you need to understand Hugo Chavez and how he influenced the world, particularly the Latin America. And you will be able to understand all these things which are happening, especially at the current moment. But not touching at the conflict between two bigger boys of politics, Russia and USA, particularly in seizing of assets that belong to Venezuela. I think those are some of the news which will come out also clearly, especially in the course of today. Because, it looks like now we are now getting the bigger picture of the plan to say it's more than drugs and support of armed trade. The bigger picture is also oil. To say, the US is not shying away from saying, we are going to take over, or we are going to be in charge of, Venezuela oil, and also the tanks and assets of oil reserves. But, in the same motion, you also have, trading partners such as Russia. That's why yesterday there was a lot of back and forth between Russia and the US after really some of the contradiction regarding who owned the tank of this oil reserve. Russia is saying it's mine, it's operating under my name. One is saying no, it's for Venezuela. But let us see how they are going to deal with each other. And one of the things that we should also put in mind is to say the relationship between the US and Russia is not that bitter. It's not that bitter. Because I was looking at one of the analysts posted the US security plan. But if you read that US security plan very well, you can be able to understand that, especially the one for the national security strategy of the United States, the one for November 2025. And, when I was looking at, one of the political analysts have also indicated that, looking at the US national security strategy, Russia is not the main threat. One of the main, if you read that document, you take it on, it's online, November 2025. If you read that document very well, you realize to say the main threat to the United States is China. It's China and Russia is not that a real threat. And let us not have this thing of saying there will be a war between Russia and US soon. No. These are people who are operating at different strategic interests. They will never fight directly and they know exactly what they are doing. So that's why it's very important to look at that aspect. But that full news will come out throughout the day, especially what was going on after US decided to say, no, we are handling now the oil in Venezuela. We are controlling the trade and we are going to be in charge. And Trump say already gave instruction for a plan to be drafted on how to deal with oil in Venezuela. And also to say the money will be used to benefit both the two countries, the US and also Venezuelan people. But that is one thing that you need to look at. And also to say, when people speak about oil and gas as a curse and also as a blessing, how should our resources be protected moving into the future? And also looking at countries such as Cuba. Cuba is in a very difficult situation, especially looking at oil trade, because when it comes to oil trade, Cuba depended much on Venezuela, while Cuba was also busy in exchange of human capital, because give me oil, may I give you technical know-how, either it's intelligence service, either it's medical personnel. Cuba is one of the most professional medical school, not even university in the UK, in the US, can compete with Cuban research on medicine. That's why a Cuban doctor, anywhere you find a Cuban doctor, they have a reputation. Anywhere you find a Cuban doctor, his capacity of performing beyond the obvious, and they deal with diseases from various directions, and they have very strong investment in their medicine. That's why it's easy for Cuba to send you 100 doctors to deal with your situation and return back at home. But can you also say that to Namibia, if you have to give that example, to say do you even have capacity to say no, we are renting you 5 doctors or 10 doctors or 50 for a certain period of time? That is capacity we do not have. So after a short commercial break, we'll look at
great news. Imba just got even better We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 7, and wherever you are finding yourself. And today, we'll speak about 2026 and our education, our academic education system of 2026. What is new? What are the challenges? How are we going to navigate through? Because must be able to remember. Must be able to remember that the results of NSSCO, that is grade 11, and NSSCAS, that is grade 12, is scheduled to be released on Tuesday, the 13th of January 2026, especially looking at information from the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport and Culture. And that will bring us a new generation of first year students at the high institution of 2026, those who are going to enter university and tertiary institution for the first time, fresh from high school. And you also find those who also find themselves in a situation that they did not make it, either they are going to improve or they are also going to find other ways of looking at their future. And there are also those who come from school and directly into the job market. And the question that we are asking ourselves is that what is new? What is new in our current education system? What is new in our current academic education system? And you must also be informed by the past. And when you are informed by the past, you must also be able to understand that the whole of last year, there have been proposals of transformation. There have been proposals on transformation of Namibia education system, especially in order to cater for the needs of the people, and also to find an alignment between academic education and what the market needs. And interestingly. There was also a task force that was directed by the head of state in order to make sure that the study is done on upgrading of vocational education into colleges, and also upgrading courses in vocational education system, and maybe also to see at the beginning of this year what will happen, especially from the Minister of Education, how that situation is going to be dealt with. And looking at that aspect, it must also be very clear to understand that when it comes to the Namibian graduates, things got out of order. Things got a little bit out of order, especially when it comes to graduates, because up to now, there are no clear data. There are no clear data, standing data on how many graduates have been produced and not absorbed the system. There are no clear data on how many graduates have been, absorbed into the system. How many are still searching for employment? What categories? There are no clear data of how many education graduates do we have in the street who are not able to be absorbed by the system, and how many opportunities are created, how many schools are built, and what programs are put in place to make sure that those education graduates are absorbed by the system. There are predictions to say 15,000. 15,000 is a lot of number, but it could be more than that. It could be more than that. But now, looking at the future, looking at 2026, one may want to ask a question to say, what is new in our current education system? What are some of the new courses which should be, introduced? What are some of the new courses which are introduced? You know, there was a time I attended, it was an IPPR, it was a study which was done on the skills on the green hydrogen. And, IPPR came up with a study and speak about, the skill gap. And one of the things that they presented is that, some of these students who got scholarships to study, within the green hydrogen program, they end up also not being absorbed. Some have master's degree and they end up also being, worried about their future. And there was a little bit of a back and forth between officials from green hydrogen and also officials from the think tank. But the one thing which I want to put out there is that, do we make proper research? Because I look at curriculum, I look at new courses. I look at new courses across the board, and I look at courses which are directly looking at where Namibia is going. I look at new courses in the area of oil. I look at also institutions such as Namibia Energy Institute. I look at upgraded courses in chemistry, water resource management, and many other courses. Then the question is that are the academics, are the institutions still talking with the industry? Are they still talking with the industry on what they need? And when they are talking, at what level? Because you already have a newly introduced courses, but still people are not able to be absorbed. And education in Namibia is very expensive. Although it's free, it becomes very expensive again because the government has to pay. And the other thing that you need to put in mind is that when they are saying it's free, it doesn't mean that things are coming free. People have to be paid. Parents also have to go into their pocket and support their children. But the question is that how is our future? Can you really say 2026 academic, the academic calendar of 2026 and 2026 academic institutions, either private and public, are ready to deliver on what has not been done? Or it's going to be business as usual? Because I'm always telling people to say, speaking about something and doing something is a different thing. Are the academic institutions ready to produce coaches, people who study sport management, people who study sport management and other courses, to make sure that we upgrade talent? If they do so, how is the response of of the industry and also the public too. To say now we are in a situation where we are saying young people talent must be upgraded. Can somebody check out there what is the progress upgrading of stadiums in Namibia? When is Braveheart going to come and play at home? Because that is what they want. Because it's not only Braveheart. If Braveheart can come and play at home, it also gives us hope. Because up to now, it's not playing at home. We are in January. The target was October. So Braveheart is going to play at home in October. But when is it going to play at home? And the other thing that we need to put in mind is also that the industry and the academic must speak than ever before. The industry and the academic institutions must speak than ever before. And also academic institutions must coordinate with each other. The other time I was speaking with Dr. Sioni Kera, and he mentioned one thing which is very, very, very important. Dr. Sioni Kera from International University of Management. And we were discussing this thing of indigenous knowledge. And we also came to the point of discussing about academic institution and cooperation to say, no, look, in Namibia, academic institution must not look at each other as competition. They must cooperate with each other. They must share knowledge. Because if you are producing engineers and producing artisans, we are in the same line. If you are producing educators, me, I'm producing education administrators, we're in the same line. We must be able to share ideas. Now, what we are standing with now is a situation of not having enough data and also not having track of progress in what we would like. Now, let me give you an example of something which could absorb graduates. There is a case of Havana Hospital being built. I think being in Windhoek for quite some times now. I've been passing through that area for a few times. And I'm checking, is there any progress here being done? And listening last year to mid-term budget review, when our minister said there's 40% progress, and you have a right to come, especially a researcher who followed too. So you have a right to come and also correct me if I'm wrong, because in that mid-term budget review they say no, Havana Hospital is 40%. 40% complete. That is what has happened. The speech is there. Now I'm asking myself, is that 40%, which means that there's only 60%, which is going to come in? And looking at the foundation of that hospital, you can be able to see that if it's completed within a given time, it could also help in absorbing the numbers of nurses which are coming through. Throughout all directions, everyone is opening an institution which is training nurses. And just in few times, not even after a year, we also find ourselves in the same situation that we have educators. And there is this thing of saying the government is going to block give instruction to academic institution not to produce more teachers. But can the government also do that to institutions outside Namibia? No. Because somebody can study education at in South Africa or in Zimbabwe and come to Namibia. You cannot say no to his qualification, and the competition become intense. The best thing to do is to compete the best thing to do is to move very fast and catch up with what you have. So the question that you're asking today in early morning scoop, especially when it comes to academic institution, that what lesson have we learned? Have we learned any lesson from the past 5 years about how we deal with our academics? Because there's nothing which pained me so much sitting around with engineers who are not able to do anything. They may be trying their best to look at other industries, but these were supposed to be people who are driving Namibia development. And there is an issue which is being discussed about mental health. How much of investment is invested in courses that has to deal with mental health? How much of the investment that is put out there in 2026 also to deal with student of psychology, student of social work, student of therapy, industrial psychologist, and many other aspects, student of health? How much of investment is put out there? And is it now not the right time for every school to have a school counselor? Is now not the right time for every school to have a school counselor? Or maybe or every school to have a school coach? One or two school coach. Is not now the right time? Because we are only seeing that at the most advanced private school, where you have a full-time school coach, where you have a full-time school counselor, to say if a child is not performing, if a child is stressed, this child is going through a life situation, this child must go through a certain program, or must go to the office of a school counselor and address the matter, if a child is being abused. But when you look at our current education system, from primary to education at the tertiary level, not really to say there's nothing which is not being done, but you can still see, when you look at the village, you can still see incidents which have been happening for the past 20 years. Children are still suffering. Teachers are still not being held accountable. And teachers are still behaving like they are doing children a favor. And if you want to be very serious about our country, we must address those things with immediate effect. We must not deal with ungovernable, we must be able to deal with ungovernable educators. And not to behave as they owe, or they are owed by children. There's one thing which I like saying, to say, if you find a teacher who is saying, I already have my qualification, I'm doing you a favor, you must report that teacher, because they got it wrong, because they want to get away with it. The question here is that, how should we reach where we want to reach? And if we still have people with that tendency to say, no, me, I already have my BETD, I already have my BED, MED, and, you know, if you are not concentrating, that is your problem. That must be addressed correctly. Yeah, because we cannot afford, in the current situation, we cannot afford to continue suffering the way we have been suffering throughout all those years, particularly in the case of not matching, in the case of uncoordinated activities which are happening between industries and academic institutions. You find that the bank is looking for people who study anti-money laundering, cyber security, and you are producing just computer science student in general. This person still have to go to another training. And there's also one thing which I like, which is being stated there by Anti-Corruption Commission, especially regarding integrating of some of the modules regarding anti-corruption, some of the modules in Namibia universities regarding anti-corruption, which is quite a positive move. But how many of institution currently as you are speaking have reviewed their content? How often do they review their content or the qualifications that they are giving? Is it happening after 5 years? Is it necessary to happen after 5 years, looking at how fast skills are changing, how fast demands are changing, and how are we going to absolve those people who have, because I've seen that as we are speaking now, although the meter of flexibility is needed, you find those who, somebody really studies something which is very great, maybe has a degree, but this person end up detached from what he studied because of the pressure of looking for a job, because of the pressure of not being integrated into the system, or because of the pressure of, a person just gave up and start doing something completely different. Then, yes, although this individual has acquired the skills that he can also use within a personal life, you must also be able to see that wrong investment is also one of the way of bankrupting the country, because investment in education must be producing the quality output. Investment in education must be producing the quality output. Because if now the government took over the education system and investing into it, do we look at our output? Why after 35 years do we still have to take people from outside to run our industries? Why after 35 years we still have people who are consulted for our strategic plans, which is quite wrong? You still have somebody who is your consultant and consulting for your developmental projects, which end up really not being productive. And if you want to get me right, ask a question to say, because we must always ask and we must always knock in those doors that of those who started projects, for these projects not to become white elephant project. How is the progress of the groundbreaking in Angwena region about accessing water, about accessing aquifer? Somebody may also be able to ask that question to say, how is the progress of that? How many Namibians are involved? How is the progress of accessing the wealthy of Angwena region, that is underground water? Maybe that is an industry that will be able to absorb people. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe, and it's 39 minutes past the hour of 7. You can still engage us at 083-288-4001 or 083-288-4001. Today, we are looking at 2026. And we look at mainly on what will happen, especially within our academic environment, and to look at the relationship between our academic institutions and also the market. Have the market now spoke with academic institutions, and do we have a clear relationship that can be able not to put our young people in limbo, but also to make sure that there is a guarantee that upon graduation, even if they are not able to get a job, they'll be able to get at least training, and they'll be able at least to be capacitated so that the situation of a fear of a fourth year should be addressed. Because now you have two types of transition within a young person. You have, like right now, every young person, those who completed grade 11 and grade 12 for years level, they are scared of the uncertainty of their future. Pass or fail. If the person failed, where am I going to improve? If I pass, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with that? And there is also a bigger fear of a final year student. Because when you're a final year student, I must tell you, everyone wants to get rid of you. Not necessarily physically, but everybody wants you to be on your own. But unfortunately, majority of the final year students, they find it also very difficult, because even when you graduate, life start becoming more difficult. And the parents start to think that, you have done something wrong when you are not working. Have you bought the qualification when you are not working? And some of these young people end up giving up. Family, they start to expect from you. Everybody is expecting, your community is expecting from you to say no. Junior has graduated in mechanical engineering. We are waiting for him to present something for us. That is the expectation of the community. The school that this child graduated is also waiting to say, no, Junior graduated from chemical engineering course. We want something from this person. And the uncle is saying, no, Junior graduated. I'm not supporting Junior anymore. But Junior is in a very difficult situation, because there is no link between that who taught him. Even the research that he did is not connecting him to the industry. Even the faculty that he was studying in is not talking to the industry that Junior is studying in. It would take Junior around 3 years to find the balance. And some people within that 3 years, they will not survive. That's why you see, wherever you meet educated young people. When you look on social media, these guys, they speak the Queen's English. Some of them, they have master's degree and maybe PhD candidate. But if you look at, are they having opportunity? No, they don't have opportunities. But what can we do in 2026 so that we can be able to improve that situation? It has already been mentioned to say is data, that is number one. Number two is coherence and coordination. Either coordination among academic institutions, universities, vocational trainings, colleges, private institutions, training institutions must coordinate with each other, because that is the only way that we can produce the quality products. The other thing is also, we must go beyond lecturing. We must train people how to think. We are not taught how to think. We acquired skills on the way. People must be taught how to think. We must be taught critical thinking and problem solving skills. You must be taught how to think outside the box and how to innovate. Because if you look at where we come from, the Badu Education Act of 1953 has produced professionals at that time of lower level position, either within the public sector or the private sector. But when you look at the post 1990, you can also be able to see the product of education post 1990 in Namibia. You also have the first generation of those who went through not to say Cambridge education, but the first generation of those who went through higher institutions of learning to a point of a degree and follow suit. Then you can also see the impact also of Bantu education on the people, to say these people started acquiring qualification to securing jobs, but not to solve problems. So let's look at ShopRite and move forward.
Tapena wengu takathenga mo on dando za ShopRite aruhe yungu kunine on dando za wapivi miipumbiwa yesiku gashe pakete jo makiriko na milka UHD oli teri mwageri mwaka kamano kudora esere non logo na ketatu no seno bilongo wei no wei oli tera nezo magadhi goku jago right brand sunflower kudora esere omirongo ntano no wei no seno bilongo wei no wei omurashi ono kufuta shivulifepo ShopRite prize ufanithu osu omolongo na limega anuwa omovigari no mirongo mbali na kamano oko ShopRite akuke goi no parutha ready steady cook ko one Africa numa panduro ku ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, you can still engage us in the studio. You can call back at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. We are speaking about 2026. Are we ready to transform our education system to answer to our industrial need? And if you look at Meme Sanette Steenkamp and also Tate Dino Barotti, they have a very big role to play in the Namibian education system. And they must also be very fast in dealing with providing strategic direction in terms of education, because education is a backbone of the industry. Education is the backbone of a Namibian industry. If it's handled very well, then it's going to be easier for Namibia to not only develop, but to have strong human capital. Maybe also to advocate more for industrial research. Because I looked at, there was one website from Ghana, which has posted one of the Namibian young person who at one point came up with a cell phone which does not use a SIM card. But the question that you're asking yourself is to say, where are these young people? Are they supported? Is he running any industry? A very young person who came up with an idea of using frequency to connect a cell phone which does not use a SIM card, which does not use, you don't need to use credit. You are capitalizing on frequency. Then the question is that what happened? What happened to Namibian education system in capitalizing on the skills of young person? And I was having a discussion with one of my friends. He's a researcher and is currently working within the Ministry of Eben. He said there was a guy at his village who came up with something like a rocket. Something like a rocket. You know, when young people are coming up with their ideas, and when he presented that to me, he made it in a joking way to say, no, that guy was warned not to produce that anymore. Now I'm asking myself to say, if a person is thinking and came up with a weapon, we must not look at innovation from a point of threat. If a young person came up with a gun, it must not be looked at a point of a threat. It must be praised, and must not be looked at as a point of threat, but it must be looked at as a point of innovation to say, what other skills? Maybe this guy must be recruited directly to the military. Maybe must head the military research center, or maybe must be part of engineering service within the military, and also upgrading or given additional training. But I'm keen to know where this young person is, especially who came up with a phone which only used frequency. Was he supported or not supported? because this was a very good disruption to the market. Because we should have protected that idea, and we should have supported that person, and we should disrupt the whole market too, to say those who depend on this, we are now using just frequency directory. You don't even need to pay anything. But if you want to get access to a formula or access to a copyright, this is how much you have to pay. Because this boy should have been rich by now. This boy should have been rich by now. But it's very concerning, especially when it's coming to harnessing of skills and talent. And the other thing is also in 2026, when you speak about the same way we speak about academic education, is also the same way we speak about talent development. When are the creative industry going to get their money? And the question which I've asked is that, is a $50 million invested already in the creative industry or yet to be invested? Because some of these fellas, they are just on TikTok dancing, and they are at shows dancing, and some of them, they are not even paid. They are dancing and paid alcohol. They are making musics, but they are paid alcohol, or maybe clothes. Dance for me or perform for me at this show. I will give you these sneakers. But how is our creative industry? And I have seen a lot of views, especially when one of the well-known TikToker or one of the well-known influencer, a very young boy at the age of 20, who was, you know, was not given access or entry into Namibia based on aviation laws. But one thing that we must be able to know is that when somebody at the age of 20, that is Darren Jason, or I show speed. somebody at the age of 20 can be able to move out of the world like that. You really want to tell me that we do not have those talents in Namibia? But the question that we are asking is that when you speak about education, innovation, youth, sport, art, and culture, when you speak about that aspect, what is that that we are doing to make sure that we have somebody who can also be at that level? You know, I don't really follow some of the performance, but you know, one of my cousins used to like champion. They call it Sheikh Champion. I did not even know who he was. Was not really following, and say, no, I want this t-shirt and all this thing. I said, no, my cousin, why? What is this? But when I see that young boy performing on the stage, then I say, what? How can a young person of this generation move such a crowd? Maybe these are the Dong and Gaza of our time, that time when we started loving music. But the question that you're asking is that the talent that is showing at the younger age, this person is not even 25. Are we investing in our people? Because these are the boys who can take on, is it Burna Boy and many others at a talent level. If we invest in our people, then we can generate more money. If we invest in our people, even if They are saying a tourist and a traveler have to pay around, has to pay around, you know, 15,000 US dollars to travel. If there is really talent and there is a show in the US, why can't we support our people so that we can have talent? Because our academic education should not be only looking at academic, we must also look at upgrading of talent. There are courses on music, there are courses on arts, but are these people really given that, you know, opportunity? So, dear listeners, we have 5 minutes before we give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. And when you look at 2026, especially those who are preparing their children to go to college, university, and also vocational training institutions, we must also assist our children on on whatever they need, because somebody posted that January came and it's a time where who fight, especially during this season. But that is a discussion of another day. But at this point in time, especially parents and guardians, it's the right time now to speak to your children and assist them in transforming. Don't only throw them into the jungle. Assist them in transforming to a next level. And also assist them post graduation, because people must be assisted until they get to their feet. And 2026 academic year, there are also those who are going to graduate. And let us not repeat mistakes that we have been doing. Proper transition must be guided. Somebody who never went to the industry must be assisted. Somebody just came from kindergarten until university. This person is still a child. Post-graduation, government, parents must get involved. Don't throw people into the jungle. Some people cannot survive because it's dangerous and tough out there. It's competitive in the street too. But this is the right time that parents and guardians must also guide their kids into that aspect. Good morning. 1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah, I'm going to call David.
Yes, how you say?
I'm going to the name of
the guy. So you are resting well.
Thank God, man. I've been listening to you all along. Then all of a sudden, I just slept.
So which means that I make you sleepy or what?
No. Yeah. I think it was just maybe a lot of loaded kind of things. But nevertheless,
yeah,
we are getting prepared for this academic year.
Yeah.
Let's just encourage each other to do better.
Okay.
Good. All the best.
All right. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. I think it's, it's a beautiful morning of the 8th of January. And apparently, Uncle Bwana, he was calling and went to sleep. And it's like he was enjoying his dreaming there. Let's hope it's a good dream about Namibia, which can come to reality. And coming to the end of our conversation, just to say, especially those who are going to wait for the results. And there is this thing of when you have a child who failed, you think you also failed in the world. Sometimes you just need to support your child. Not everyone is going to pass. Not everybody was in the same state of mind in 2025. Yes, people are going to fail. That is an obvious aspect of life. But that is not a failure for life. There are those who are going to pass. But support the person and maybe know to say, what talent do you have that you need to pursue? What other things do you need to have? Because if we are not transforming the way we deal with the situation, even at the home level, to say there must be new ways of thinking from guardians and also parents to say, when my child failed, what other things can I do? And we must stop this thing of look at other children. Look at other children, they have passed. Look at other children, they are married. Look at other children, they have 2 kids and 4 kids. Knowing exactly that people are not the same. And with much respect, one person say, no, parents are right comparing us with other children, but we don't do that to them. But it's the other thing that just to say we are not the same. And some people need more support than others. Some children are slow learners. Some, they even have cognitive inability and psychological problems that are not to that extent of a person being sick. Just need to support. So we need to look at that aspect. So, dear listeners, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now and see you around.